Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My dad had the habit of snatching up a copy, free copy, of the weekly newspaper of want ads. And where I grew up in southern Idaho, this was known as the Thrifty Nickel. It was help wanted, for sale, for rent, all of that. And I can remember looking at it one time, and there on three compact lines was something altogether different. If the newspaper weren't in black and white, this could have been in red letters, because this was a Bible verse. It was John 10, verse 16. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." Well, a Bible verse in the Thrifty Nickel. You want to talk about Jesus saves? I mean, come on, this is amazing to me. I thought this is kind of a novel idea. Someone would get their faith right out there. And this, even though this happened more than two decades ago, I still remember it because of something my dad said in that moment. I said, "Dad, check out this Bible verse." He goes, "Yeah, too bad it's a Bible verse that a Mormon would use." I didn't understand what he meant by that, as I do now. As we go through John 10, this is all about the shepherd, all about the sheep. We are his flock, we hear his voice, we know him, we follow. And how many times have you heard, or maybe even used, sheep as the perfect metaphor for people, and why? Right? Because sheep are, you know, usually dumb. And I've gone that way lots of times in my preaching and so forth, but I think perhaps the more exact reference that we should be going for is not that just sheep are stupid, but that sheep are pretty powerless to do anything about their situation. They're quite needy, help needed. But one of the things that sheep can do well is listen. And apparently they do so with some discernment, as they recognize the shepherd's voice apart from the thieves or the hired hands. And Jesus says, this is verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And the more we follow, the more familiar we are with his voice and the way that he leads. Now, when Jesus says, "I and the Father are one," that is a lot to take in. Because I'm not sure if you caught that move that Jesus just made leading up to this, but he says, first, no one can snatch them out of my hand, and then he says, no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. It's the same hand, because Jesus and the Father are one. And so John 10 is the conversation that's just always good for us to hear as his sheep. Now, not too long ago, there was a conversation I couldn't help but overhear, and this was where I served. This was in Lacey, Washington, actually at a Wendy's one afternoon. And there were two young ladies. They were LDS missionaries, and they were speaking with a gentleman, and I could just kind of tell by the course of their conversation, this wasn't their first meeting. Maybe it was their third. Things had progressed to a point, and for me, it was as if all my childhood, my hometown culture, was dining in. And I grew up in southern Idaho, and I love Mormons. I want you to know that. All my friends were Mormon. I wanted to be Mormon. I would have been a great Mormon. And I have so much respect for them and the abundance of works and their example of morality. And I honestly believe that the LDS church is the best church that man could ever build. But that's the problem. Man built it. So there I was at Wendy's, eavesdropping on this conversation, trying to enjoy my double stack. And the women prayed with the man and gave him some pointers and homework for their next time. And it was just as my dad said. They used those Mormon-sounding Bible verses. They talked a bit about baptism, how to pray to discern if something is really true. And he was listening to their saccharine sweet voices. And as I was listening to all of this, it really bothered me because I knew this man was being lied to. He was being snatched away before my very eyes. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And I remember looking at my tray of empty wrappers wadded up, wondering what I would do. And what would you do? Would you just treat it like that tray and just, you know, throw away the stuff and move on, get on to real ministry back in the office? Or would you realize this was your ministry in that moment? And so I waited, actually, until the missionaries left. And the gentleman remained. And I approached him and said, "Excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation, and I just wanted to say to you that those women were not telling you the truth." And he invited me to sit down. And you know what? We had a great conversation right there. He was so open. Started talking about Genesis. Now, I have my Bible on my phone, and it just so happened that my phone was dead. So I'm like, nuts. But here is where it gets even better, because another woman had since walked into the restaurant to dine in, and I could tell that her spiritual radar was out. You know, she was kind of picking up on things that we were doing. And she came up to us and said, "Excuse me, but I couldn't help overhearing your conversation." And I thought, man, this brings new meaning to the term double stack, okay? She says, "I'm a student of the Bible. I love the Bible. I happen to have 6 Bibles in my car. Which version do you want?" And so she gives me some telling options of the Bibles that she has, and out of what she's offering up, I choose King James. I'll tell you why. And then I use her Bible in my conversation with this gentleman. But it turns out this woman was Jehovah's Witness. So this poor guy in the restaurant just got spiritually jumped in one sitting by 2 Mormon missionaries, 1 Lutheran pastor, and a Jehovah's Witness. And that is a steep price to pay for 99-cent chicken nuggets right there. But that was the moment. And as I learned more about this guy, he wasn't really buying what the missionaries were telling him. See, he had a falling out with a local Christian church some time ago, but he was a believer. He had read the Bible cover to cover. And I said, "Man, if you know what they're saying to you is not true, what are you doing hanging out with them?" And he said, "Did you see that one lady sitting right here? One of the missionaries?" I said, "Yeah." "She was hot." Honest, that is what he said. Now, in spiritual conversations, we never know how they're going to go. We never know what's underneath the surface or in the wings or has yet to just surprise us in the way. But friends, whether we talk about Jesus or not, the point is, plenty of other people are willing to. Other flocks are out there. And in many ways, we're getting smoked. People being snatched away, listening to the wrong voice. And yet Jesus still speaks truth through us, through the Word, even if it is a borrowed copy of the semi-altered King James from a Jehovah's Witness. Jesus speaks His voice. The opportunities to speak to Jesus abound. They may not come to us on a silver platter. Sometimes they come to us on a plastic tray of everyday missional living. And if we are of the flock of God, who are safe, who have been made secure in His hand, then that means we can be bold in speaking of who Jesus is and what he did, as he did, namely that Jesus is one with the Father. And wouldn't you know that John 10:30 just happens to be one of those verses that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses have a very hard time accepting, because they can't. No one can separate us or snatch us out of his hand. This means we live boldly, confidently, giving eternal life so that we won't perish. At some point, as the flock of God, our concern shifts away from our own well-being to the good of those that don't know Jesus yet. And the more we listen to his voice, the more we hear him calling to people, people that we may know, people that we may not know. This spiritual conversation, he wants us to overhear, to eavesdrop on what he is speaking, and then act on it. And I know every situation is different, and sometimes it's easier to act anonymously than with, or in anonymous situations with those that are very familiar. But our help is needed, it's requested. Knowing that Jesus' grip is firm on us, he's calling to us, is so clear. And if we listen to his voice as he leads us, he'll give us boldness in that moment to say what very much needs to be heard. In Jesus' name, amen.